All right. Open to Philippians chapter 4. We're going to read verse 6 and 7. And our focus today will be on peace. The verse says, the peace of God, and a picture I like to think of from the scriptures that we have two times from the Old Testament is peace like a river. That's what we're after today. That's what we're pursuing. This peace that flows like a river and is unending and is refreshing and life-giving. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. The peace of God. This is one of the wonderful things, one of the wonderful privileges about being a Christian, is we can finally have real peace. And everyone that's saved knows something of this peace in a measure, because when you are saved, being justified by faith, you have peace with God. And yet, this is also something that we need to keep pursuing, that we need to grow in, that we need to have helping us day by day in every circumstance. And at times, I have unwittingly despised peace. What do I mean by that? I mean, as a Christian, despise in the true sense of the word, thought little of. I've unwittingly, without knowing it, I've thought, yeah, peace, that's nice, but there's something to our flesh that sometimes peace doesn't seem that amazing. It doesn't seem that impressive. Why is that? Well, to the flesh, rest can look lazy. It can even look feminine. Something about being a man, I don't know if you women have, if you've got married, surely you've figured this out. Men like to work. And sometimes the thought of resting is offensive to a man because of pride. Peace and rest go hand in hand. Contentment. Sometimes contentment or satisfaction looks unambitious. So if you have peace, you know, you should be thinking of battling. You should be thinking of conquering, doing something. Peace can look just laid back and unambitious. And safety sometimes looks or sounds boring. There's a certain thrill about danger, something that's exciting. Well, the problem is the scriptures don't talk that way about peace. That's not the Bible's view of peace. The Bible has a very high view of peace. And we all need peace. And every soul longs for peace. And we can grow in this. And the Lord wants us to grow in peace. Look at the first phrase here. This is in verse 7. We're just going to pick out a few phrases. The peace of God. Verse 7 says, calls it the peace of God. So this is the first point that I want to make. This is God's peace. If you love God, this is His peace. This is associated with Him. Peace is not something to be despised. It's a part of who He is. It's a part of His nature. It's something He delights in. Did you know that 6 times in the New Testament, God is called the God of peace? Here it says the peace of God, but it's also the other way around, the God of peace. Just like God is a God of love, a God of forgiveness. Just like he's a wise God, he is a God of peace. In fact, even Gideon in the Old Testament said, "The Lord is peace." It's a part of his nature. And so surely, if this is a part of who God is, then this is important for us in the Christian life. This is something worth thinking about. There's so many verses on peace, and the reason why is because it's a part of his character. Think about Jesus Christ. Jesus, as he was prepping his disciples, getting ready to be crucified, to leave them essentially, he told them, "My peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives." So this is a gift from Jesus Christ to the church. The peace that Jesus gives. And this is, as I've been especially meditating on lately, this is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. You remember? Love, joy, peace. And so when the Holy Spirit is really at work in your life, when you're really Spirit-filled, when you're really just overflowing. You know, the Holy Spirit, we think of him sometimes like water being poured out, like a river. Sometimes that's the language that Scripture uses. When you're really being controlled and led by the Spirit, you will have peace. It's a fruit of the Spirit. So this is huge. This gets to the character of God. This is one of the gifts of Jesus Christ to the church. And this is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. If you're near to God, if you're in touch with the Trinity, peace will be in your life, growing and flowing and expanding. What kind of peace? Well, we could search all kinds of verses. Peace with God. Peace with man. It starts with peace with God. Whenever we're drawn to Christ, whenever we trust in him, we give up on ourselves, we give up on the sinful attractions of the world to cling to Christ in faith, then we do feel peace with God. But that's not so much what I'm going to focus on today. If you're not a believer, that's what you need. You need peace with God. That comes through the blood of Christ, that comes through the cross. But there is a peace, that's the greatest peace. I mean, that's the biggest problem. That's the biggest battle that's going on. But even when we cross that as a Christian, we've passed from death to life. We now have peace with God, and that'll never be taken away. That'll never change. Even then, we still need more peace every day in every circumstance. And this is what I'm going to focus on today. This is what I believe this verse is really bringing out for us. Look at verse 6 again. "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." So what's he saying here? This is the next point. There's a command. Do not. Do not be anxious. For your salvation? Well, that's true. We need to trust in Christ. He removes our fear. He saves us. But this says, don't be anxious for anything. And it uses the word everything. But in everything, pray with thanksgiving. So this means there is a temptation, an attack of the enemy, even in our own flesh. There's a temptation to worry. There's a temptation to be anxious and to be stressed out in life circumstances. And it can be anything. And that's really where I'm going today. I don't know what the anything is for you, but there are a lot of things that could cause fear, cause doubt, cause worry, anxiety, stress. And for a Christian, that is not what the Lord wants at all. In fact, it's a command. Do not. To be anxious is to be falling into unbelief. It's to fall into sin. We need grace to overcome stress and anxiety. And this is something we need to pursue. It's true that there's the sin of worry, which we'll talk about, but there's also other sins that can follow from can flow out of or be a result of a worried mind or a worried heart. When you start to get stressed out, you can have all kinds of sin come into your life. The peace of God is what we need. It's not just for those who like that sort of thing. It's for every Christian. And it's not just for the worldly problems like money. A lot of times we see Bible verses saying, don't be anxious about money. Don't be anxious about your clothing. Not just that, anything, even spiritual things. Don't be worried or stressed out about the spiritual gift that you have or don't have. Do you have peace? I mean, it could be anything in your life. It could be some aspect of your prayer life or someone you desire to be saved or whatever the case may be. The Lord does not want anxiety. If you come up against an issue, a problem, an obstacle, a pain point, whatever it is, His command is not to be anxious but to pray, and to pray with thanksgiving. This is the difference between care and concern. You can be concerned and you can care for someone's spiritual state without falling into unbelief and anxiety that the Lord's not going to save them. The Lord's not going to help you. Not saying that we don't think about how to earn money, or we don't think about how to take care of our kids, or we don't think about salvation of people around us, or things even in our own life that we're struggling with, but we don't want to fall into unbelief. We want to have peace in all circumstances, at all times. And here in this command, the do not, I'm thankful that He says do not, because it's just straightforward. There's no excuses. He's saying, don't do that. There's not a problem in the world that God cannot overcome, that God cannot give you grace with. And you see that right there in the verse. Do not be anxious about anything. Well, some people may say, okay, you may not be anxious because you don't know what I'm going through. You've not been in my shoes. But the Bible says anything you would experience in life, you can have this peace of God that will be with you and help you in the midst of it. There's nothing that it can't cover. Look at this. It says in verse 7, the peace of God which surpasses all understanding. Surpasses all understanding. Don't misunderstand. That doesn't mean like your mind is shut off and you just feel this warm, fuzzy feeling. It has nothing to do with your understanding and it's just in a different realm. It's not what he means. What he's saying is very similar to Ephesians 3, where it says that the love of God surpasses knowledge. Here he says the peace of God surpasses understanding. What he's saying is the same thing in Ephesians 3. This is part of God's nature. It's divine. It's infinite. It will cover any circumstance you can fall into, the peace of God. Just like the love of God. The love of God, there's no depth that it cannot reach and save someone. You can't go too far and then the love of God can't rescue you. This is the same way with the peace of God. It surpasses understanding. It's able to help us and comfort us in every trouble, in every trial. The next phrase is in verse 6 as well. Prayer and supplication with much anguish. That's not what it says. Prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. And this is big. This is the how-to. When it comes time for the Christian to overcome stress, to not fall into sin of anxiety and unbelief, this is the how-to. He's saying, don't be anxious. Instead, here's what I want you to do in that situation when it comes upon you. Pray, make supplication with thanksgiving, and let your requests be made known to God. And what I really want to focus on is the Thanksgiving part. Because there's a lot of times, and maybe you've known this, seasons of prayer where you're praying about something, but you're not feeling any peace when you get done praying. And that's not what the Lord wants. And that's not what this verse says. He says, the peace of God, if you really pray with thanksgiving, it will guard your hearts and minds. He wants us to pray in a certain way. There is a kind of prayer that really is just as unbelieving as not praying at all. And you don't feel any help after you get done praying. And the problem is still in your mind. You still feel the weight. You still feel the burden. I like one of the songs we sing. It talks about casting our cares on the Lord. And it says, and leave them there. Sometimes you in your prayer and you go away and you're still carrying those cares and anxieties. So what is this prayer and supplication with thanksgiving? Well, thanksgiving, it can mean you're thankful that God has saved you. You're thankful that Christ has forgiven you. And no matter what else happens in your life, you're glad because of that. Or it can mean you're thankful for something he did in the past. Maybe your mind hasn't latched onto any verse, but you remember back a few weeks ago or back a few years ago in such a time when I needed the Lord, he helped me. And so as you're praying about this current request, you're giving thanks for the past, and that brings some comfort with it. That stirs up some faith in you. God was faithful back then. He'll surely, I don't know how, but he'll be faithful today. He'll take care of me. But I think there's something perhaps even more important that we latch onto today, and that is this thankfulness based on his truth, based on something for the need of the moment, based on God's word to you for that particular problem. It has to do with our mind. It has to do with truth. It has to do with his promises, to where if you can lay hold of God's word, you will find peace. Now, why do I say that? Thanksgiving is kind of a very general term. It could mean a lot of things. But when you start reading other scriptures in the Old and New Testament that talk about peace, peace is very linked with our faith. Peace is very much linked with truth and with the Word of God. And it is very much a battle in our mind. It's important that our mind lay hold of the promises of God, lay hold on the Word of God, so that in whatever situation, we can trust him and his peace will guard us. Think of this verse, Isaiah 26:3. Any of you, does that ring any bells? It says that he will keep us, he will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. When your mind is fixed on the Lord, you'll be kept in perfect peace, the peace of God. Psalm 85 verse 8 says, he will speak peace to his people. Speak it. It's through his word. Not just give peace, but he'll speak it to his people. When you hear his voice, we get his peace. And you even see that right here in the verse, because in verse 7, he says the result will be that it will guard your hearts and your minds. Peace is not about so much our physical condition as it is our mental condition. Our minds, what we're thinking about. The reason why you don't feel peace is because there's confusion in your mind. There's lies in your mind. It's not so much, it can be related to physical pain, but it's not so much the physical pain itself as is, where is the Lord? Why is this happening? That causes the real unrest in our minds. And here it is, the peace of God for our minds. Let me just give you some examples from the Scriptures. Someone had mentioned, Brother Darrell had mentioned John the Baptist today. This was an example that came to my mind. How is it that he could have peace when people were leaving his ministry? Because he knew something, right? His mind was renewed. Though people are leaving my ministry, I'm becoming less popular and important. He had peace in it. Other people were bothered by that. His disciples were bothered by that. He wasn't bothered by that because he knew God's plan. God had spoke to him. Remember, he said, "The one who sent me to baptize with water told me, he spoke to me, whoever you see the Spirit descend upon, that's the one." He was in touch with God. He had gotten a word from God. And then when that situation came, he had total peace. He was just rejoicing in it that they were leaving him. Think about Jesus Christ. I like this example. When he was a boy in the temple and his parents leave without him, they don't realize he's not there. They start searching among their friends and relatives. Where is he? They rush back. They find him after searching in Jerusalem, in the temple of all places. They find him in the temple. And it says they were distressed. Why have you treated us like this? We're stressed out. We've been stressed out. And Jesus, he's not stressed out at all. And he says, "Didn't you know?" See, they didn't know something. They were missing a piece of information. They were not in touch with the Lord like Jesus was in touch with his Father. He said, "Didn't you know I had to be in my Father's house?" Well, how did he know that? I don't really know. I mean, one thought is, this is just a shot in the dark, but you do see some scriptures that maybe he read as a young boy, like, "Zeal for your house will consume me." And he just, "My parents left without me," but he's so intent. I don't know, but the point is, he was in touch with the Lord. He knew what they didn't know, and he had peace in it. What gave Paul peace when he had this thorn in the flesh? It was very troubling for him. He was praying again and again for it to be removed. And sometimes the Lord will remove those things. Peace isn't always surrender. Sometimes the Lord will answer and change the situation. But in that situation, the Lord did not take it away. It was not the will of God for him to be delivered. He got in touch with the Lord. The Lord spoke to him, and then he had peace. What was the Lord's word? "My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness." So what I'm saying is, this prayer with thanksgiving can mean a lot of things, but if you can, put your mind in the Bible. Go to the Scriptures. Seek a word from the Lord for your situation. Grab hold of a promise. It may be that there may be some special comfort here just for you, or it may be that you're actually missing some key information, and that's why you don't have peace. And if you get it, it will help you. We need to renew our minds. Peace has to do with truth. Peace has to do with the mind. So we set our mind in the book. I've heard an illustration that the Bible is like a medicine cabinet full of all kinds of different medicine for different situations. And I can just about guarantee you may be able to find someone in this church who has a struggle something like yours, but probably no one has exactly what you're facing. There's so many areas where we just need the Lord's help. And the Bible is so, I'm glad it's big enough. There's so many promises here. It's like a medicine cabinet. You find the right one and just exactly what you needed. Have you ever had that happen? And then it's like you're invincible. Then it's like suddenly you feel like you're made of steel. Like the Lord gave me a word and now I feel totally different than I felt before. I know He's with me. I know that doesn't matter. I know this looks scary, but it's not. We need to go to the Word. One time in my own life, I was in India and I was extremely discouraged. And it was hard to really even put it into words why I was feeling so stressed out, why I was feeling so beat down, so heavy, so weighed down. And for about 2, 3, 4 days, it was like I just could not shake it. And I emailed some of my friends back home that I loved and I trusted, and I told them, please pray for me. I just feel like I'm ready to fall. And I was so anxious. I was just so worked up and so out of sync with the Lord. And I went up on the roof, and it was nighttime, and I was just walking around trying to pray, trying to ask for help. And then suddenly, the word of the Lord came and spoke to me. In the world you have tribulation. Take courage. I have overcome the world. And I didn't have a Bible in my hands, but that verse came to my mind, and it was like perfect peace. All those problems just blew away. The Lord spoke. We need the Word of God. We need to get in touch with God. We don't want to just go on trying to make it through the stress, trying to make it through the anxiety, hoping things will just, the circumstances will just change. We need, our faith needs to lay hold of the Word of God. Let's look at another phrase. This is in verse 7. It's the word guard. Guard. You see that? The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. This is one thing about peace. Not only does it feel good, comfort, help, rest, security, safety, assurance, but peace, it is strong to protect you. It's connected with faith, and it's like faith in the sense of guarding, like a big shield. It can protect you from all manner of evils, not just warding off the worry itself, because as I said, worry itself is a sin. Worry, because it's connected with unbelief, is a sin. Not just that peace will protect you from the worrying or the anxiety, but can protect you from what follows. I think it's very true that when we're stressed out, we are so much more prone to disobey the Lord in other areas. And if you have the peace of God, it will guard you from these things. Think of someone who does not have peace about their finances. They're in this low position, just barely making it by, and they're worrying and worrying. They're always thinking. They can't get it off their mind. It's just weighing them down. That person is going to be more prone to lie or to compromise in a certain situation to save their money, are they not? Think of someone who's not at peace with their singleness. They'd rather be married. They want to be married, but they're not married, and it's weighing them down. If they don't find peace from the Lord in their situation, they will be much more prone to flirt with other people, dress in a way to attract. Isn't it true? Think of someone who maybe they're studying to pass some exam, finals at school or some certification, and they are stressed out about this exam. They love the Lord, but they have let this thing totally worry them, and it's on their mind. They will be much more prone to not read their Bible, to skip their prayer time, to skip a church meeting even, because they're worried about passing the test. We need peace because it guards us from other sins. When we have peace in our relationship, not just that the Lord forgives me, but that what I'm going through, the Lord is with me. It helps us tremendously. How important is it to guard your mind? See that? It will guard your hearts and your minds. How important is your heart? How important is your mind? The proverb says, guard your heart. Here it's saying, guard your mind. What would you think of someone who says, okay, we built this amazing fortress with these really expensive, you know, laser detection systems, and we've got this place locked down, we're guarding it, but we put the control panel and all the control center outside of the facility, and anybody can walk up and just push whatever buttons they want. You'd think it's a waste. The control center, the mind, is like, if you give that over to the devil, what havoc he could wreak in your life. We have to guard our minds. We're not just guarding ourselves outwardly from this or that temptation. We're not just trying to avoid certain things. We need our minds to be renewed. If our minds are guarded, we can be really safe. Maybe I've convinced all of you, and you're on my side at this point. We all need peace. But if someone is really firm in their mind, no, I have an objection. My objection is, I don't want rest so much. I want to be really busy working for the Lord. I don't want to think about resting and having peace. I want to serve God. I want to work for the Lord. I'm too busy doing great things than to focus on peace and rest. Well, I would say, how would you answer that objection? Someone saying, I just want to work for the Lord. I don't want to think about resting in the Lord. Well, one thing you could say is, as a Christian, whatever work we do has to flow out of our rest. That our resting in the Lord will enable us to serve Him with gladness, will enable us to work for Him. That's one thing you could say, is that we must work from a position of rest. Our works must overflow from our love relationship with Christ. We have to always be sensing this peace and rest He gives to really even work for Him at all. Or, Mr. Greatness, Mrs. Greatness, let me ask you another question. How much good will you do to your kids if you're stressed out? Or how much good will you do to your spouse if you're stressed out? Or to your church, your flock, if you're stressed out? How much good would you be to your coworkers if you go to work worried, stressed out? Have you ever tried that? You ever come home, you're totally stressed out and worried? Were you very effective doing anything for the Lord? No. If we don't have peace, it spoils all of our works. We need this peace with the Lord. And then the last phrase in verse 7, the word will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So this is a promise. And we could really put the whole sermon here if we wanted to, but this is a promise. I love Philippians 4, 6, and 7 because it's a promise for us when we find ourselves in this situation. Am I looking down on anybody that's stressed out or has anxiety? No. We don't look down on each other for our struggles. What I'm showing you here is there's a promise here. There's advice here. There's a gift to be laid hold of, God's peace. And it is guaranteed if we pray. Doesn't mean the temptation to anxiety is going to go away. But we don't have to give in to unbelief. If we pray with thanksgiving, doesn't say pray with anguish, it says pray with thanksgiving, pray with some hope, pray with some faith, pray having been in touch with the Lord, having heard His word, the promise is He will give you the peace of God. It will guard your heart. It will guard your minds in Christ Jesus. So now, just a few minutes to reflect. What does all this mean? We've seen that the peace of God is a part of His nature, something He delights in and loves. We've seen that it's a command. We're commanded not to worry. We've seen even the how-to. It's been explained from the verse itself. I didn't have to come up with that. It just says, pray with thanksgiving. And the result. The result is, it will guard you. It will guard your heart. It will guard your mind. And the last thing is, it will. It will guard you. Not it might guard you, or it will guard some people. It will guard you, no matter the circumstance. We need to know God's will. We need to know His word. We need to be in touch with Him. We need to pray with thanksgiving, and it will. This is no little thing. This is something important in the Christian life. God wants everybody in this assembly to be walking with peace in their heart. Whatever your calling is, whatever station you're at in life, whatever trials you're facing or not facing, the Lord wants you to have peace and rest and security. It's more important than your ministry. It's more important than doing miracles. It's one thing I tried to focus on with other people in the Bible study. The fruit of the Spirit, it's more important than all of that. It has to do with our relationship with the Lord. We don't want to get focused on ourselves and our activities more than our relationship with the Lord. Here's one reflection. Do you know anyone like this? Do you know anyone maybe in this church that one thing about them is they do not get stressed out. They don't seem to get fazed by their trials. They're rejoicing. They're trusting in the Lord. They have peace, even in very difficult circumstances. If you know someone like that, you should hold them in high regard. God gives different strengths to different Christians, but we need to esteem this because, like I said, at different points in my life, this to me seemed like a little thing. It's not a little thing. If you know someone who is going through a difficult circumstance and yet they're singing, yet they're praising the Lord, yet they're holding on to Him in faith, praise God. We want to be like them. We want to learn from them. Sometimes it's the Christians that don't seem to be strong and, you know, maybe the way, like wielding a sword. They don't seem like this amazing swordsman or whatever in this spiritual life. And yet they have this unique ability where it's like nothing fazes them. And they're just going on joyfully, peacefully. In fact, I remember I was reading The Pilgrim's Progress Part 2. With Christiana, you know, Christian's wife, and she's on her way to the celestial city now. And Greatheart makes that point. He makes the point that there are some like Valiant for Truth or whoever, they're these mighty, mighty warriors. And yet, these other ones like Much Afraid or Mr. Despondency, they actually fall less in time of temptation in these other regards. So, my point is, we all have areas to grow in. And we should be thankful when we see this brother, that sister, they're exemplary in their peace with the Lord. And I would say this as a reflection. It may be that some of you on the last day, what brings more glory to God is what you suffered peacefully, joyfully, faithfully, even over above what you accomplished or what you did. And sometimes that's the greatest act of obedience. That's the greatest test of obedience, is to be willing to suffer peacefully in the will of God. That brings glory to Him. The world is not like that. The world wants, get me out of this circumstance. I need just the easiest, smoothest road. But when we're in touch with the Lord, He is glorified when His word is enough for us to give us peace. And my last reflection is to think in regard to your own life, is this you? Do you have peace like a river just flowing day after day? Where are you at? Is anything stressing you out? Is there any person that's stressing you out? Is there any circumstance that's just on your mind? You can't get it off your mind? Go to the Lord. Are you worried about anything? Anything. Do not be anxious for anything. Go to the Lord. Pray. Hear from the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord. His peace will guard your heart. Amen. Let's pray. Oh, Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this promise here in Philippians. Oh, Lord, teach us to trust in you all the more. Forgive us, Lord, of any falls into anxiety. Help us, Lord. Help us. Father, I pray that this is an area where you would cause much fruit to be born in our life. By your Holy Spirit, we can't do it, Lord. We cannot give ourselves peace. We need you to unfold your word to us. We need you to renew our minds, to give us this thankfulness. Father, I pray you would help my brothers and sisters in this regard. You'd encourage them. Oh, Lord, I thank you even already for the many victories that have been won, the glory that's been brought to you, even here in the lives of these saints, through the trials. You have been enough for us, Lord. We want that to always be true, that you would be enough for us. You would give us peace. Help us in Jesus' name. Amen.